Before we start the word this morning, just a little prophetic word. In Zechariah chapter 3, it says, The angel showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. The accuser Satan was there at the angel's right hand, making accusations against Joshua. The Lord said to Satan, I reject you and your accusations, Satan. Yes, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebukes you. This man is like a burning stick snatched from the fire. The Lord just wants to say this morning that in East Coast Church, he's in the business of snatching burning sticks from the fire. I just really believe we've got a mission at the moment in snatching burning sticks from the fire. Just believe that, take hold of it. And, you know, maybe there's people that, you know, when I first came to this church, God put some people on mind. I didn't have quite a bit of faith, really, to pray for them. But they were on my mind constantly. And then I noticed that for our cafe church, night one of them has put themselves as going. And I thought, oh, you were speaking to me, Lord, actually. You know, I feel like, you know, maybe God's put people on your heart. And maybe they're the burning sticks. Just believe that God is in the business of snatching people at this moment in Redcar, in this area, out of the fire. And into his kingdom and setting people free. You know, believe for that and pray for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, well done. 12 weeks, wow. If you could measure a church how good it was by how many values it had, we'd be massively awesome. So, we've had 12 weeks and I get to finish it off with the subject of compassion. So let's just dive straight in. I'm going to read the story of the Good Samaritan, Luke chapter 10, verse 30, and then we're going to pray. From verse 25. One day, an expert in the religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him a question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? And the man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him. Do this and you will live. And the man wanted to justify his actions. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And he was attacked by bandits, and they stripped him of his clothes and beat him up and left him half dead beside the road. And by chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. And then a temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but also passed by on the other side. And then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged him. And then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. And the next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man, and if his bill runs higher than this, I will pay you next time I'm here. Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? And the man replied, it was the one who showed him mercy. And then Jesus says, now you go and do the same. Jesus, just thank you for this morning. Please speak to us and help us to hear you, Lord. And, you know, challenge us in ways we need challenging, Lord. And encourage us where we need encouraging, Lord. But just, Jesus, we want to hear your voice today. We want to hear you speaking to us. We want to know what you're saying to us right now. We don't want to just hear me speaking, Lord. We want to hear you, Jesus. We want to hear what you've got to say. So please speak right into our hearts and challenge us and uplift us and strengthen us, Lord, and in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, it's all technology this morning. So on my phone, I've got a timer to make sure I don't go over. And on the iPad, I've got control of the screen. And I've got a Bible. So we're all good to go. So basically, there's different ways, I guess, of doing sermons. And this morning, we're talking about compassion. I've put a bunch of statements together, which I think define compassion. When we talk about it in the church, I think there's a difference between compassion and what we talk about, what we mean actually when we say it in church, because there's compassion, and there's a compassion that Jesus had. And so I've put a bunch of statements together. They look like quotes, but I just made them up. I don't normally do it this way, but it just felt like the right way to do it this morning. And so my first statement is, compassion is not a church program. It's the very character of God manifested through us. You know, we have a church program called Compassion UK. It's not really our program, but we've bought into it, if you like, where we sponsor children in the developing world. We've got a project in Kenya, and you can write to them, and it's amazing. It's one of the really one of the best charities there is, because their ratio of the money you give and what goes out to the front line and does something is incredible. It's almost everything goes out. I don't know how they manage it. It must be supernatural. But they really are an awesome charity. And this morning, I was going to have a stand with some their sponsorship, that you could sponsor some more children in our project, but unfortunately, they haven't arrived. So I think we'll do that next week. Maybe it kind of feels like maybe that's what God wants. But next week, maybe we'll do that. But it says compassion. It's not a church program. It's the character of God manifested through us. You know, compassion is not something we buy into, but it's something that God wants us to be. It wants us to flow through us. Compassion is the character of God. It says when Moses wanted to see the Lord, it says the Lord passed in front of Moses calling out, "Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy, I'm slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness." Right through the Old Testament, you get this kind of God announces himself as unfailing in love, and, you know, he's the God of compassion. So, you know, in a few weeks' time, we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, etc., etc. But those are actually the attributes of God. It's the personality and the character of God. And so when they come into us, we start being like God. Well, compassion is the character of God. So when we display compassion, we're behaving like God. And God wants us not to actually be buying into a program, but become more like him. So when we talk about compassion, it's not something that we sponsor or give money to, or we do this good deed or that good deed. It's something that moves through us. It's something that we become. This morning's sermon really challenged me, because when you look through the values and like you kind of, I'm sure Tom did this as well, and he's kind of, but he's got a better position because he gets to pick, you see. So you're looking at it and you think, well, which ones would you like to do? Which ones would you hate to do? Which ones are you hoping somebody else does? And you kind of go through it and think, oh, they'd be good at that, and they'd be good at that. Oh, I'd love to do that one. You know, I think I'd be good at that one. Well, compassion, when I looked at it, I thought, I hope they don't give me that one. But I knew in my heart I was going to get it. I knew it was going to happen. Partly because I'm the compassion rep for the church, so I thought, oh, they'll give me that one. But, you know, like, some people are just really compassionate, aren't they? They just ooze compassion from every cell in the body. Well, I'm not one of those people. I wish I was. I wish I was one of those people that just overflow compassion all of the time. But I don't. I have other good characteristics that God's put in me. But, I mean, man, I don't overflow compassion naturally. I do when the Holy Spirit's moving through me. And when, you know, I'm close to God, then I have compassion. But it doesn't come naturally to me. I just believe, like, you know, and as I was preparing this sermon, I thought, you know, there's three ways I can do this. I can either miss out all the difficult bits and preach a duff sermon, but make it sound good. I could preach, go for it, go for it, go for it, and be a total hypocrite. Or I could go for it and let it work in me as well. And let it challenge me as well. And so this morning, this word is a real challenge to me. And at the end, you know, maybe you want to come. At the end, I'm going to kneel at the front and give myself to God in compassion. Maybe you want to join me. If God speaks to you today, maybe you want to join me at the front and say, God, move through me in compassion. I give my heart to you in this. A few weeks ago, I was sort of scrolling through Facebook, as you do, and I saw this quote on an old friend's feed. It says, when justice, and when we talk about justice here, you know, we're talking about God's justice in society. So he's talking about things being transformed. He's talking about compassion. When justice is only a program, we can choose to either do it or not. But if justice is our character, we will have no choice. It will be manifest in our life. Justice will become the character of the community. Justice will become the way we look at things, the way that we order our life, and the way that we order our homes. You know, if compassion is just one of the values of Amazing Grace, if that's all it is, if it's just a value, and there's a group over there that do that value, then, well, it's pretty rubbish, isn't it? But if it's what we are, and if it's who we strive to be, and if it's how we behave, then it'll happen naturally. God is calling this to be something that's within our hearts and something that we live out on a daily basis. My second statement is, compassion overcomes inconvenience. Compassion is like, it's something that moves through us. It talks about Jesus. It says he was, a number of times, it says he was moved with compassion. Something that comes through us. It's love in action, but it's something within us that the Holy Spirit stirs up inside of us. It's years and years ago, many years ago, I had a dream, and this has nothing to do with compassion, but you'll understand the point I'm trying to make in a minute. I had this dream, and it was, I guess it was kind of about revival. I think it's prophetic, actually, but I was preaching many times to thousands of people, but with it, there was strong persecution, and I felt this incredible fear in the dream. I remember this fear, but the Holy Spirit kept coming upon me and filling me with boldness. Despite the fear, I became so bold, I would preach anywhere. Acts, it talks about when the disciples were commanded not to preach in the name of Jesus, and it says, give us boldness. You see, boldness overcomes fear. The disciples knew that, so that's why they prayed for boldness. They didn't pray, take the persecution away, they prayed, make us bold. And so the boldness overcomes fear. Well, compassion overcomes inconvenience. When we moved with compassion, it overcomes the inconvenience of it. When I think about it, that's my biggest problem with compassion. I'm on a mission. When I get in the car, I'm going somewhere. And if you get in my way, then, you know, what are you doing on the road? What are you doing in front of me? I'm on a mission. I don't want inconvenience. I've got a job to do. I've got a place to go and a thing I've got in mind. And I don't want necessarily to be compassionate all the time, because compassion might inconvenience me. You see the story of the Good Samaritan. It says that this guy gets beat up, and it says the priest ignores him. Well, of course he did, because he was going to Jerusalem to do his duties as a priest, wasn't he? He was on a mission. He doesn't want to help this guy, especially a Samaritan, because the Samaritans are hated by the Jews. The Levite, it says the temple assistant, he goes over and he has a look, changes his mind, carries on, because he's on a mission too. And actually, the priest, you know, he probably didn't want to look at him because he thought, well, what if he's dead? And then he becomes contaminated, according to the Jewish law, you know. And then he can't perform his duties. Levi, I don't know, maybe he went over and thought, I wonder if the bandits are still around. You know, better get going, you know. You see, compassion will always inconvenience us, actually. We have to make a choice. Do we want to allow the Holy Spirit into our life to move us with compassion? do we want to allow the Holy Spirit to inconvenience us? There's a world around us. And if we allow ourselves to be truly compassionate, it's really going to inconvenience us in our daily lives. We have to make a choice and say, God, all right, I'm prepared to be inconvenienced, because the Samaritan guy, we don't know what he was doing, but he was certainly inconvenienced. And the religious people, they weren't willing. John Wesley says, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. God wants us to do all the good that we can, in whatever way we can, all the days of our life. Compassion continues even in the face of ungratefulness, hurt, or failure. tell you about my children. I love them, you know. One's three, the other was 1.5. And morning routine, if it's my turn to get them up, is basically you go downstairs, Lydia wants milk, he's screaming for it. You get her milk while Anna's asking for cornflakes. I go and get the cornflakes, put some cornflakes in a bowl for Lydia. Anna's complaining because she hasn't got her milk yet on her cornflakes. I do all that. I go make myself a cup of tea. I come back in with a cup of tea and I goes, toast, please. She usually doesn't say please. Toast, toast. And I'm like, you mean, may I have some toast, please? which she usually obliges to. I make her some toast. I sit down. Lydia wants toast. It's all right. They're just kids. They'll grow up one day. But the truth is, adults can be like that too. Adults can lack maturity too. Sometimes things happen in our life and it cuts off certain areas of maturing in us. You know, we might mature and become an adult and mature in many areas, but maybe every one of us probably has little areas in our life where we're actually a little bit immature. You know, we've never fully grown up. Because maybe some hurt or something's come in and cut that off. And when we're showing compassion, we end up dealing with people who are ungrateful sometimes. They don't appreciate what we're doing for them. They think that we owe them something, or that it's our job to do it or something, or think that we must be getting paid for it or something, you know. you know, there's an ungratefulness that often happens. Jesus says He had a long day, and this is one that happened to him. He had this long day, and he's healing people, and then he hears that his cousin, John the Baptist, has been beheaded, and must have been difficult for him, actually. And so he says to his disciples, let's get in a boat, and we'll go to the other side and get away. When he gets there, the crowd is there. And it says he was moved with compassion for the crowd, and he healed their sick. And then he feeds 5,000 people. And he says, next time they see him, he says, oh, you just want me to feed you? You're not here to what I've got to say, you just want me to feed you? You see, we're looking for a heavenly reward. We always have to be thinking about that. It's nice if you get an earthly reward. Nice if people say thank you, but they might not. For that, God doesn't want us to be concerned by that. Jesus still fed the crowd, even though he knew that they were going to be ungrateful. Jesus still washed all the disciples' feet, including Judas, even though he knew what Judas was going to do. Because that's what makes us like God, if we do that. It's our duty to be freed from hurt. You know, if people have hurt us, or we've had failure, then we need to get healed from that and let go of it, and then carry on being compassionate, and carry on loving people. Carry on loving people that don't appreciate it. That's just what God calls us to do. Francis of Assisi said, men lose all material things. They leave behind them in this world, but they carry with them the reward of their charity and alms they give. For these they will receive from the Lord the reward and recompense they deserve. Whatever we do in this life, Even if people are ungrateful, God's got a record of it. Jesus said that. We'll be rewarded for it. I don't know what that means. What does reward look in heaven? Which sounds pretty awesome in itself. Do we need any rewards? Is there like, I don't know. But Jesus says that it's all logged. And we will be rewarded for it. I remember listening to J. John preach, and he was talking about, he says, when his father died, he says he went back to Cyprus where he was from, and he says all the family were there, and everyone's talking and gossiping with each other and stuff, and one guy comes over to him, he says, you know, the nosy, he says, oh, did he leave anything? And J. John said, he left everything. We don't take anything with us, do we? Except what we've done for the Lord. We don't take any material possessions with us, except for what we've done for God. Compassion never seeks dependency, but always has freedom as its goal. We'll just do that one quickly, but sometimes I've noticed that when people have programs, sometimes they're getting a buzz from the dependency of other people on them. We've always got to lead people to Jesus. You might have that, and, you know, God bless you, do Route 61. You know, like, we all probably have a little bit of that in us. The Lord doesn't want us to lead people to ourselves so they become dependent on us. He wants us to lead them to him so they get freedom. So they can be totally free and so they can serve people and be compassionate and love people. Every act of compassion that God wants to move through us, it's to bring freedom into people's lives. It's not to make them dependent on us, but it's to bring freedom. Compassion is not all of the gospel, neither is it an insignificant piece that can be safely ignored. The message that we preach, the gospel that we preach, compassion is bound up in that. And so you might have heard this quote, preach the gospel and if necessary use words, Francis of Assisi. There's a number of problems with that quote, and the biggest one is he never actually said that. In fact, Francis of Assisi preached the gospel all the time, sometimes more than 5 times a day. And he always used words. And so he would never have said anything silly like that. It's a silly comparison because the two go together. Compassion is an integral part of us preaching the gospel, but we still have to use words. My old pastor years ago used to have this story about Fred who wanted to witness, evangelize to his friends at work, and he thought, well, I'll do it through my actions. I don't need to preach to them. And so he was, you know, the most loving, kind, amazing person and really got alongside people and respected people and did his job really well. And one day, one of his friends came over and said, Fred, he says, I've been wondering, is there something different about you? And Fred's like, oh, yeah, praise the Lord. He's broken free. He says, are you a vegetarian? We've got to use words. But if all we use is words, then that's not much, is it? We need to do more than words. Apostle Paul put it like this. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've not heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? But the two do have to go together. It always did in the early church. In the early church, it says they sold everything. And it says they had everything in common, and it says there was no poor among them. The last Emperor Julian, the last pagan emperor of Rome, put it like this about Christians. He didn't like Christians. If you're a pagan, by the way, and you believe in thousands of gods, then Christianity that believes in one God is just one step away from atheism. He wasn't talking about atheists, which you can see from the rest of what he said. But he said, atheism, added, i.e. Christian faith, has especially advanced through the loving service rendered to strangers and through their caring for their care for the burial of the dead. It is a scandal that there is not a single Jew, Christian, who is a beggar, and that the godless Galileans, as Christians, care not only for their own poor, but for ours as well, while those who belong to us look in vain for help that we should render them. Isn't it interesting that 350 years after Pentecost, there's still no poor among them? Think about that. 350 years later, there's still no poor among the Christians. They really understood. They had the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the preaching. And they had compassion. Two always go together. And the final one, I guess this is actually one of the most important. It says, compassion sees, hears, and feels. It refuses to be blind, deaf, or ignorant. For me, the two big ones that perhaps drive me away from compassion is, I don't want to be inconvenienced. I'm not sure I really want to see, hear, and feel. Sarah has a story and about the compassion child that we've got two children we sponsor, the compassion child that she sponsored, and it'd be good if she gave the testimony sometime. She gave it in Estonia, and there wasn't like a dry eye in the room, you know. But she talks about how she started sponsoring this child, and she never wrote to them. And she says that, like, the letters started piling up. She didn't dare open them because she felt guilty because she hadn't written any letters, but she couldn't throw them away because she knew they were important. And so this poor child is writing a letter after letter after letter, and there's this big pile of letters. And the Holy Spirit has a wonderful way of working with us because as this pile's getting bigger, we got asked to be the compassion reps for the church. And Sarah was like, oh, no. Oh, no. So she thought, oh, no. She said, so I made myself, she says, open all of letters and read them all. And she says, they started off wonderfully bright. Oh, thank you for sponsoring me, you know, and they were so full of life. But by the end, they were just like, thanks for your money. And so she obviously wrote to them and apologized to them. And she says, why did I do that? She says, it wasn't because I didn't care. She says, I just didn't want to be touched by it. I didn't want to feel it. I was frightened what it might do to me and how I might behave and how I might change if I saw that and I felt it and it became part of me. We don't like it when these things touch us because it causes us to change our ways. It causes us to behave differently. It might cause us to treat our money differently. It might cause us to do things differently in life. And we don't want to be overwhelmed by it. But there's a safe place in God. We don't need to be overwhelmed. God's not calling us to reach everyone, but he's calling us to reach the people that he sends to us. Famous quote from Mother Teresa about how she was going to, I think Martin gave it the other week as well, about how she's going to deal with all the poverty that was around her. And she just said, one by one. We don't have to deal with all the poverty and all the misery around us. We just have to deal with what God gives to us. Just to finish on this, St. Augustine said, what does love look like? It has the hands to help others. It has the feet to hasten to the poor and needy. It has the eyes to see the misery and want. It has the ears to hear the sighs and the sorrows of men. That is what love looks like. Love that God wants to bring through us, it has our hands, and it has our feet, and it has our eyes. And maybe this morning God's calling you to open your eyes and say, Lord, open my eyes. I'm sorry that I don't see. Open my ears, Lord. Let me be touched by the things I don't want to be touched with. I'm saying that this morning, you know. There's many things that I have not wanted to be touched by. But, you know, I want to let God allow me to be touched by those things. And I want to be used by God. I want to allow myself to be inconvenienced. So we just pray for a moment, and then, you know, you can respond in whatever way you want. I'm going to kneel at the front. You don't have to join me there, but you can do it in your own way. But let's respond in whatever God wants us to respond to this. Lord, I thank you that you're with us this morning, and, you know, God, I just open up my hands to you, and, Lord, we open up our lives to you, Lord. We want to be used by you, God, in compassion, Lord. We want our church to be a place where there's no poor, Lord. We want to be touched, Lord, by the things that you want to touch us with, Lord. And we don't want to run away from it, Lord. So please do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you want to respond to that publicly, that's not for me or for anyone here, but if you want to respond to that publicly, please come to the front and just have a few moments and just pray to the Lord before we close the service. Just have a few moments.